Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth in the book of Luke, the facts behind our faith. Love that. As believers, we don't have to opt for the pie in the sky. Boy, I hope it's true. No, we have some very credible reasons why we believe what we believe. And Luke took time and effort, and obviously the Holy Spirit guided him. And what a great book to demonstrate the person of Jesus and the many, many reasons why we can put our faith confidently in him. Luke chapter 17 and verse 20 is where we are right now. And we're in a section where Jesus is teaching about the coming kingdom. And anytime you get Josh, by the way, thanks, Josh, for joining us. Anytime we get into eschatology, you know, the study of end times, you're always going to get into a little bit of controversy.
Sure, yeah. There's so many views out there, so many differing opinions that it'll make your head spin sometimes.
So I'm always careful to let people know I am a dispensationalist. Mm-hmm. I believe in a pre-tribulational, pre-millennial rapture. I know that not everyone believes that, but I believe that's the teaching of Scripture. Otherwise, I wouldn't say that.
Right.
I do think a strong distinction needs to be made between the church and Israel. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that. I think God gave a separate promise to Israel, both a land promise and a seed promise. I do believe that in Daniel's 70 weeks, God has determined 70 weeks of years upon Israel. And I do believe that the 70th week is still yet future,
right,
where God again will turn his attention to Israel for 7 years. I do believe that the first, the second half of that 7 years will be a time of great tribulation. And I do believe that Jesus Christ will come and put down Antichrist and his armies at the Battle of Armageddon, and will physically set up a 1,000-year literal millennial reign, the kingdom. So I understand the kingdom of God can be broader than that in principle, but when I talk about the coming kingdom of Christ, I talk about a literal 1,000-year kingdom.
Yeah, and I'll just say ditto to all that for myself. That was a great, great succinct explanation of the end time events and timeline.
Well, yeah, and from Israel's standpoint, now obviously from a church standpoint, we know the next prophetic event on God's calendar would be what we call the rapture, and you'll see teaching on that in 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, really John 14, Revelation 4. And when you talk about the rapture, you're talking about that time when Christ will catch away his own in the clouds. Sometimes people use the misnomer, the second coming of Christ, and refer to the rapture. But the second coming of Christ is not the rapture.
Right.
When you talk about the second coming, coming means coming where? Coming to this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is when Jesus comes and snatches away his bride, the church. Why? Because we, New Testament believers, were not Israel. And again, God directs his attention to Israel in that 70th week of Daniel. We're taken out of the way. We're saved from the time of that tribulation. So again, I don't want to get into all that, but just, my friends, just so you understand where I'm coming from in the teaching. So chapter 17, verse 20, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you, among you,
yeah.
is what he meant by that. In other words, referring to himself.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, you're looking for that sign. You're looking for this big political event. You're looking for the change in, you know, the Roman economy or whatever they were looking for, those markers. And Jesus said, you're looking in all the wrong places. So why were they so concerned with the kingdom?
Yeah, they wanted Messiah to come and set up an earthly reign and free them from Roman oppression and all of those things that came along with that first century view of the Messiah. And so they were looking forward to that. And of course, you know, as they were questioning Jesus here, the Bible says in verse number, 20 there, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. When it says that the Pharisees demanded when the kingdom of God should come. The idea is they're trying to, as the Pharisees often did, put Jesus into a position here where he's going to stumble, he's going to trip up, he's going to say something that's going to expose him for who he truly was in their eyes.
And this was a season, just even in history, in Jewish history, where there was great messianic fervor. Already there had been a number of would-be messiahs, and there had been little mini revolts, and there was a whole group of people called the Zealots that were strict Jewish nationalists and hated all things Rome, and there was definitely a tension that was palpable,
yeah.
And so it's on everyone's heart and mind about the kingdom. And if there is Messiah, then there's going to be Jewish rule and there's going to be no more Roman oppression. There's going to be no more taxation and all of it.
Yeah.
So it's a legitimate question, but the answer they get is it's nebulous in their mind. They just can't quite sort it out. Look at verse 22. And he said unto the disciples, so Jesus was in a constant... his mantra was he would give answers to the crowd, he would give answers to religious leaders and critics, but then often he would, as an aside, take his disciples and expand upon that answer, whether that be the further explanation of a parable or further insight into a prophecy or a judgment. So that's what he's doing here.
Yeah, I think that reveals the care that Jesus had for his disciples. I mean, these are the ones that have given up their livelihoods, that have given up their lives to follow him. And so in his care for them and his heart for them, he's going to teach them a little bit greater understanding of his purpose and what he's doing here on the earth.
It's the same thing we do with our own kids.
Right, right.
You know, Josh, you're raising your boys now. When I was raising my kids at home, I mean, often just little things that would happen in life, little responses to what would happen in public or whatever,
yeah.
You take your kids aside. It's like, hey, let me talk to you about this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to add some clarification and maybe some wisdom to a situation that's confusing to
mm-hmm.
them.
Yeah, and that's where the disciples were here. They certainly were confused about what the response that the Pharisees had
Well,
gotten.
They had the same questions.
Yes, they did.
You know, and they had been asking those questions. Remember, my friends, this is toward the end of Jesus' ministry. And the disciples have already seen, three of them at least, Jesus transfigured before them. They know that he's Messiah. They declared that up at Caesarea Philippi. And yet they've seen a waning of his popularity. They are already arguing who's going to be greatest in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody has this kingdom fervor, this kingdom fever. And so when the Pharisees asked the question, Jesus is providing a little bit more information for his disciples. And watch what he says in verse 22. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part of heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. So guys, I'm not saying that all the things that you envision about the coming kingdom and the, like the lightning flash or the coming of the Son of Man and the setting up of the kingdom and all the things that young boys, you know, want to think of when they play beat the Romans, you know, yeah. Jews and Romans, like we play cowboys and Indians. Guys, I don't want you, I don't want to burst your bubble. That day's coming. But one thing that everybody's missing is the fact that I came to seek and to save that which is lost. I've come to die. I've come to pay that price. I'm going to be rejected. Nobody wanted to hear that message. I'm going to be rejected of this generation.
Yeah, and so this is just, you know, further prophecy of what's coming very soon. And I'm sure the disciples still are a little confused at what Jesus is saying. Jesus, I don't understand. You know, you're the Messiah. You're the one that's come to save us. And so there's some confusion there. But obviously, very soon, as you pointed out, Jesus is going to be, he's going to suffer.
So let me read a description of what the coming of Jesus will be eventually. Now, mm-hmm. We're talking about the coming of Jesus to earth. At the end of the tribulation, the Bible says in verse 26, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man." Jesus is referring to himself here. "They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." Then he describes a couple situations. Verse 31, "In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. He that is in the field, let him likewise not return back." Remember Lot's wife. You know, don't hold on to physical things. Mm-hmm. It's not about that. "Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two men shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, the other left." Not taken. This is not the rapture.
Right.
In other words, taken in judgment. "Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. They answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? He said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together." In other words, in judgment, in death. In other words, there's coming a day of the coming of the Lord. And it's a day of judgment. Mm. It's going to be a day when people are unaware and unsuspecting and not looking for him. It's like Noah, who preached for all those years, but nobody listened. And they didn't believe it until the day the judgment took place. And all the people in Sodom, where Lot was calling out and crying out, but nobody would listen until the fire and brimstone came. Hey, the Jewish people are not going to understand until the day the judgment comes. And for so many of them, like that Babylonian captivity, it's going to be too late at that time.
Yeah, everybody's doing their own thing. Everybody's so busy gathering their material goods. And, you know, we see the picture here of Lot's wife and Noah's day, and then the one that's on the housetop, and don't let him run back into the house and get his stuff. And so everybody's so consumed with getting and getting and getting and going about their lives, going about their daily business. But that day's going to come, and it's going to come quickly.
And certainly, my friends, this can be illustrative of when Jesus comes in the rapture. Mm-hmm. This is not the rapture.
Right.
But the same principle applies, in that it's easy to get so wrapped up in what we're doing now, life, and all the, and they're not doing wrong things. They're marrying, they're giving in marriage, they're buying, they're selling, they're doing their jobs, they're going to the mall, but they're not thinking about God, and they're not thinking about the coming of Christ, and they're not thinking about the world to come, and they're not thinking about accountability. And so the principle is still the same. Boy, what can distract us? I'll tell you what can distract us: life itself. Mm-hmm. And so what's the answer? The answer is listen, because God has not left any generation without his word. God has not left any generation without his prophets. And so listen to Noah. Listen to Lot. Listen to to Jesus. Listen to the Word of God. Listen. I think that's the principle.
Yeah, for sure. And what a principle for us today. As you know, I think even as we're in the midst of this, you know, coronavirus and quarantine and all of that, you know, a month ago, before at the date that we're talking about this, it was about a month ago that life was normal. Relatively normal. And then it seemed like in a matter of, you know, a couple of days, our lives completely changed. And I think, you know, as I think about that, and that's not a great comparison with the rapture and, you know, the way that life will be during the tribulation and all of that. But it is a comparison in thinking about our preparation for Jesus coming back. You know, if we all probably had been as prepared as we wanted to be, we would have had a whole bunch of toilet paper in our homes, and we would have had, you know, the food to last us a couple months, and we would have felt like we were prepared for the lockdown that came. And I just think about that in relation to the rapture. And man, if I really was thinking about, on a daily basis, the rapture, and it was a reality, because I think for many of us at many times in our life, the rapture, we don't live in reality of Jesus coming back. We live in the reality of the now. We live in the reality of what's happening today, what's happening tomorrow, yep. What are my plans?
What's real is what we can see.
That's right, yeah. And if we were thinking about the future and thinking about eternity, I think it would radically change the way that each of us chose to live our lives.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt about every bit of that. And so, my friends, I would say to you today, Let's live as those that believe in the coming of the Lord. Let's live as those that believe in the truth of God's word. And unlike these Pharisees or even these disciples, let's not allow our senses to be dulled. Let's understand that there is coming a day when Jesus will call us to account, and only what's done for him on earth will have mattered. So I hope that helps, my friends. I appreciate you joining us again today. Enjoyed the study. I know we've probably covered a little bit too much today, but good stuff to chew on. Maybe you'll go back and study it a little bit better yourself in the days to come. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.